This morning I shared a moment ago that we'd be starting a new series, taking a look at our interactions and our communication, especially with the technology that we have. And so our guiding scripture this morning will be out of 1 John in chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. And I believe this is an important topic for us as followers of Christ to consider how we communicate, especially through the use of our technology. We think about all the ways in which we interact with screens and technology. I mean, I've got a screen in my bag and my phone. We have our desktop computers. We also have our televisions. And all points in between, ways of technology, of receiving information, receiving communication, but also sending the same, of putting information out there, of communicating, of connecting with other people. So as a people of faith, I believe it's important that we be grounded in our faith, in our understanding, you know, of how we can share the love of God, how we connect with others in this world and in this way. So I invite you to hear these words starting with 1 John chapter 4 at verse 7, and we'll read through 21. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Holy Spirit. We have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as a Savior of the world. God abides to those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that when we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I think about all the ways in which we can communicate, all the ways in which we connect with one another, the list starts building pretty quick. Especially when I think about all the communication methods I have available to me. We could start real simply with the fact I live at 309 Gordon. You could come and find me there. There's a telephone number of the parsonage, so there's method number two, 829-4963. There's also email, so that's three right there. There is texting, so there's five. There is Facebook and Facebook Messenger, so I'm going to count that as six and seven. There's Instagram, which is eight, and I'm sure there's something I am leaving off there. I know one of the ways which we have meetings, you know, in our conference and with clergy frequently is with a program called Zoom, and so that could be probably added to that. There's different message boards, different forums I'll occasionally visit and such, all different ways of communicating, of sharing messages. And I believe for us in our day and age, it's important that we use our words, that we communicate well, especially through our use of technology. Because it can be a challenge for us when we are communicating, and especially when we're receiving all kinds of information being bombarded towards us. I think about all the ways in which communication has changed, let's say in the last 150 years or so. I think about how my grandparents and great-grandparents would have gathered around when they received their mail and would have had a newspaper come to them or have a newspaper picked up in town, and how they would receive that information. It was, go through a professional writer who was paid to write, an editor would review that, and eventually it would land on the page. All those words would have been carefully chosen, and I've heard stories of them reading the paper together. There was also radio, came a bit later, and families would gather around the radio and listen, and the same kind of curation, editorial work would take place, where you'd have an editor who would choose stories, if it was the news, or perhaps a program director who would choose the content you would listen to, and you just have to turn on the radio and listen. And that was one way of getting information. And then television came, and in the 50s there, where it became ubiquitous. But for a long time, we only had just a few channels to work with. And those, the same thing there. There was an editor, there was a program director, you had paid anchors, folks who could communicate well, and that was their occupation, to report the news or to put on programs. There was a lot of work that went behind the scenes to bring you that content. And then in recent years, at the turn of the century, as we've had the internet, the platforms of sharing communication, of creating, content and information, all those things have become far more democratized and far easier for us to use. I mean, now we're able to record information, we're able to create our own podcast. It doesn't take a whole lot to do these things, and we're able to put stuff out there. We can use social media platforms and very quickly, create information and content or a message and put it out there. And the same tools can be used by, companies who are, professionally, who do this as a profession, such as like ABC News or Netflix. You can use the same platforms to communicate, to share information, to share stories, to share content. And part of that, some of the struggle that we have in our world is it's so easy to share, to put information out there, to communicate. Because while there's amazing benefits to all of this technology and blessings that can come from it, ways we can be connected with our loved ones in ways we could not imagine before, like any technology, there is a dark side. There is a side that is something we're not proud of. We could also put misinformation out there. We can talk about our neighbors in ways that are not healthy. And you could think of all the cyberbullying that can take place and all the ways in which people have felt threatened by having information put out there. There is a dark side to all the good that can come with our technology and the ways which you use them to communicate. However, I believe as a people of faith, we can speak in to this use of technology, to these platforms. We can speak in and also act in a way that brings the love of God into the world, that brings the light of Christ wherever we find ourselves. I believe we can make a difference in our interactions and how we connect. In our passage I read just a moment ago from 1 John, it's often talked about as being, one of the love chapters in the book of John. 1 John is, filled with all kinds of descriptions of love, of being connected. I mean, you could just, in that passage there, count all the ways in which, words like beloved are used, or loved is communicated. However, we have a problem with the English language when it comes to love. For example, I could say, I love God, I love my wife, I love cheeseburgers in much the same way, but I'm communicating a very different message every time. Now, I've had some cheeseburgers that were close to divine status, believe me, but I don't love that cheeseburger like I do God. I just would not work. That does not make sense. It's not right, quite honestly. And so it's part of the problem we have when we are communicating just in person, just, you know, in print, is we have the hurdle of our language, of conveying ideas, conveying, you know, information. And then we take it into an online, you know, forum, perhaps onto Facebook, and we're trying to text somebody or connect with somebody. And we're stuck with just those characters that we can put in there. We can only those words we can use. And part of the challenge, too, is, you know, 90% of our communication is done outside of the text or just the pure content. And that's some of the challenge with online communication, with the use of social media, is if I put a sentence out there and just put it there, but don't have, you know, the context, don't have, you know, the emotion, don't have no body postures, don't have no eye contact, those are all ways in which we as human beings have communicated for a millennia. And when we come down to our digital communication, we often strip away so much of what makes our communication human, which help the things that help us to connect, to share that message. Which is why it's all the more important as a people of faith that we reflect, you know, our faith. We reflect the love of God. We reflect the hope that we have in God, in our connections, in our actions. Now, that love I was talking about, or John was talking about here in this passage, you know, out of the book of John, is described as an agapao love in the Greek, or agape love. And it's a love that's more than just, say, the love I have for another person. It's grounded in God. It comes from God, but it's more encompassing. It's broader. And in fact, every time I talk about agape love and try to describe it, I find myself doing this motion because I don't know how else to convey that idea, because it is such a broad, it's a love that's meant from human to human, coming from God. It's a love that goes out. It's a love that's transformative and for all people. And this is the love that in the letter of 1 John that the writer is talking about, the love that we're called to reflect, the love that we're called to share. Now, the origins of this love, I believe, are important for us to take a look at. So if you have your Bible with you, we're going to go to the book of Deuteronomy, if you'd like to look it up. If you don't have it with you or you just like to listen, that is perfectly fine. We're going to go to Deuteronomy in chapter 6, starting at verse 4. And this passage here out of the book of Deuteronomy is one of the first moments we would say we have a declaration or an affirmation of faith. It's very important. If we are the Jewish faith, this would be very, very important for us. But hear these words starting at verse 4, chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." This early understanding of this love and this early understanding of that the agape love, the agapao love, you know, is grounded in this love that is centered in our God, but is all-encompassing. It inhabits our very bodies. It inhabits the spaces that we are in, the rooms that we go to, the homes we go into. It inhabits those spaces. And part of the challenge for us here as we're in the 21st century in communicating is not only do we have physical places to be in, we now have digital and virtual places. But I believe as a person of faith, that love is still present in those places. It should be there. I believe as a people of faith, we should reflect that grounding of that love. Now, if we jump to the New Testament, into Matthew 22, now Jesus, no, he was a big fan of this passage of Scripture. He was a big fan of Deuteronomy and the Torah. That would have been some of the first passages he would have learned. So in Matthew 23, or 22, excuse me, Matthew 22, starting at verse 36. This is where Jesus is confronting the Pharisees and being asked questions. And this question comes up, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with it all of your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment." Now, this is right where Jesus adds a little more. He's not supplanting or replacing, but expanding on this. At verse 39, "And a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." On these two things hang all the law and the prophets. So if we're thinking about our interactions, our connections, what we share, what we comment on, how we engage, these words can guide that. Does our action, does our communication reflect this kind of love, this kind of connection? There's a little more Jesus has for us, though. If you go, jumping to the beginning of Matthew's gospel, if you go to chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, starting at verse 43. It says here, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so you may be children of your Father in heaven." This one is tough just in regular, everyday interactions. Now, one of the things I enjoy, you know, watching online is a lot of YouTube videos for photographers, you know, sharing their process, talking about their equipment. And you go into the comments section of these videos. Much like any comment section on the internet, you should not go to the comment section of anything on the internet, but I go there anyway. And I'm looking there, and you would think on these forums, whenever there is gear reviewed or tested or talked about, you would think the cosmic forces of good and evil were manifested in Canon, in Nikon, in Sony, in Fuji, in Pentax. And if you are a Nikon shooter, I mean, you have found the light, you have all the good in the world, and everyone else is evil. And what's interesting is folks who shoot Canon have the same opinion, or Sony, or Olympus, and so forth and so on. And you see the conversations just devolve. It's just nonsense. It's meaningless. And the same thing happens in other things that we engage with online, with news articles, with just opinion pieces or things that are shared. It devolves into nonsense. And I believe for us as a people of faith, as a people who have the love of God, who are called to share that agape love that fills the whole world, I believe we're called not to get sucked into that or to participate that in a way that tears others down or causes harm. And that can be hard sometimes because we will find stuff that is emotionally charged, our emotions get fired up, and it's just way too easy to hit send. I believe for us as a people of faith who are called to reflect the love and the light of God, we can take that moment, that pause, and go, does this reflect the love of God? Does this lift others up? A part of this, too, could be a challenge if it's something we disagree with, you know, something that maybe contradicts our values. And I believe like any kind of face-to-face interaction, we can disagree with things, but we can disagree in a way that does not dehumanize other people. We can disagree in a way yet still show the love of God. I believe this is critical, extremely critical as a people of faith, as we're sharing, connecting through our technology. Because here's one of the realities of the world today with the technology that we have, is it's highly possible, if you get into a conversation online, it is highly possible you may be the only person of faith in that conversation. And I believe it's critical for us to share that light even in those moments, to be that light of God in those moments. Now, that's a high stake. That can be a lot of pressure. But I believe because we are doing this because of the love of God, we have the Holy Spirit with us, we can be guided in our interactions. We can still bear witness to our faith when we are connecting, when we're sharing, when we're liking, when we're subscribing, when we're disagreeing. All those moments we can still be the light of Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, as I'm thinking on even a bigger picture, when I think about today even, where we remember the baptism of Christ and we reaffirm our baptism, how these waters have cleaned us, have renewed us, have called us to new life, we've marked ourselves saying we live differently. And we reflect the love of God, the love and the hope of Christ through these waters. So I believe in our world in 2020, in our time and place here in Wiley, Colorado, it is critical for us to reflect that agape love, that love that God has for us, a love that can be transformative, the love that can make a difference so others can know God, others can experience God and see that hope in the darkness. Brothers and sisters, I call on us to let these waters here guide our interactions, to let the love of God guide our interactions, and that grace of God guide us and shape us as we live our lives, wherever we find ourselves, not just here in the physical space, but also online as well. I believe we can make a difference. We can be that light. Christ says that we are the light of the world, that we should let that light shine. And I believe it is our time to let that light shine now and forevermore. Amen.